What's up, Long Beach? I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 9 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. For our last episode of the season, I have a very special co-host with me today in the studio. It's the very best sports expert I know and the host of the Daily 49ers Teed Up podcast, Naoki Yima. Thanks so much for being here today, Naoki.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. So today we're featuring February Falls. These are all really good friends of mine. They're a Southern California-based pop punk alt rock band. Here's a little snippet. I never wanted a life, working a 9-to-5. So can you figure it out, boy? You know you're losing light. And maybe the end is coming faster than it seems. What if it's always been a wise imagine?
That was The End from February Falls, their newest single released July 2023. They're here with us today in the studio. Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited.
Why don't you guys go on around and introduce yourselves really, really quick.
My name is Mikey Putman. I play guitar and sing vocals in February Falls, the band.
My name is Kyle Zarate, and I am the drummer for February Falls.
I am Jeremiah Omar. I am the bass player and the designated mean guy of the band.
Facts. He's really mean.
What were each of your musical introductions?
Oh, man. It'd have to be like early 2000s. I like a lot of like early 2000s kind of like slightly like raunchy comedies, like those American Pie type movies. And there's always so much like pop punk and alt rock in those movies. Even the bands are like featured in them. And I don't know. I just like immediately connected with those. I think that's mainly my main introduction. And then it kept branching out into, you know, different bands. Like I like to listen to 1975 or even like way different, you know, George Benson or Michael Jackson, all that type of stuff. So.
Hell yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
For me, I think music was introduced to me in middle school when my middle school band teacher had us play like a lot of Michael Jackson, like Boyz II Men, all that stuff. And then my brother introduced me to bands like My Chemical Romance, which was a huge influence for me and my drumming. Also, I played for my home church like since I was 14 growing up. So I met these guys here at church called Calvary Chapel South Bay. Thanks. So we've been playing together for a while. And yeah, that's my musical background.
Jeremiah.
And then I'm originally from Louisiana. So I grew up hearing a bunch of people outside just random playing music. Like, you know, Mardi Gras and parades and all that stuff. In New Orleans. So I love listening to jazz and grew up listening to jazz. And then when I got to California, I started listening to everything else, a lot of gospel music. And then high school, I would look at other people's t-shirts and then follow those bands and listen to all the music. So that's kind of how I got into pop punk.
So for those that are listening, February Falls was something that Mikey, that you kind of started when you were living back in Denver. But what was sort of the origin of bringing now these guys in to something that was already kind of a thing?
So kind of the timeline of February Falls is like, I think around like 2012, I started writing and recording an album that's kind of like, that was the Nothing Lasts Forever album. Well, the whole album is not anywhere, but the main title track is on YouTube. There's like a music video for it. That's with a different lineup. There was a lot of different lineups in the Denver period of the band. And when I moved out to LA, it just kind of fizzled. And the LA music scene, as everyone knows, is grimy and gnarly and, you know, not too many amazing things to be said about it. But I stopped for a little bit and then I met these guys. And it's just always hard finding other musicians who are into the genre and down to do everything with you. And also like love the project too. And like are down to carry weight with you. And these guys, I mean, some of my best friends in the world. And just so organic how the way it kind of rekindled back in like, what was it? During the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Jamar started coming over and we wrote Mirror together. That just kind of slowly started building. It was like, oh, let's write another one. And we got connections to the church that Kyle was talking about, that Calvary Chapel South Bay place, have a killer studio and stuff. So guy there is also into pop punk. He's like, hey, I'll like mix and master your music, help you guys kind of start off. We got, you know, Oscar in the band, who's unfortunately not here with us right now. Currently, he's fine, but he's just not here with us. And Kyle is just the best drummer I've played with, and Jamar is the best bassist ever. And we, Naoki is the best church drummer and drummer yes. I've also ever played with.
Yeah, I want to make that very clear.
Who doesn't know Naoki is virtuistic at drumming. So
that's a good word.
So Colin, what was that like, you getting the offer to be a part of February Falls ultimately?
It was cool. I think you just hit me up. It was either like for our first show that we're going to play, or like you hit me up for rehearsal. Cause we knew Mirror for like a long time. Cause it was like drafts, like for a hot minute. So when we were actually practicing for like a first performance or like actually recording it, I was like, shoot, dude, like that's like so dope and like such a blessing.
You were practicing together and then eventually invited to join the band?
Yes. Again, we already played with each other or had experience playing with each other at church. It wasn't really a huge change, I guess, mm-hmm. when Mikey asked me, oh, okay, let's practice for this song. But instead of worship music, it was more like fast pace, a lot mm-hmm. of flashiness, which kind of contrasted from the regular like worship scene that I was used to. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, as Mikey said, like natural. Mm. Why the choice of the name February Falls?
Oh, gosh. I always hate answering this. I feel so lame. It's so I grew up in like a real like cookie cutter suburbia area outside of Denver, Colorado. It's called Highlands Ranch. But my friend he was like, I have this idea for a band named February Falls, but I think it sounds like another suburban neighborhood like Highlands Ranch. And he's like, I don't want to use it. And I'm like, well, like, can I use it? Like, because I think I connected that. I think that name's rad. So, unfortunately, it doesn't have a meaning. And I'm all about being honest and stuff. I used to try and, like, make a meaning. I'd be like, oh, yeah, because February was always hard for me to get through. And, like, I'm like, that's cringe and stupid. Let's just be honest about it. So, yeah, it doesn't really have a meaning. I guess it resembles friendship and pop punk. And that's it.
So, you guys... I remember a lot of that time and during the pandemic when we would sit through a lot of those sessions. But what with Mirror, what was the inspiration for The End? And what was like the ultimate musical composition that went into all of that?
The End. I kind of went like solo into that like kind of songwriting session. Like Jamar and I kind of tag teamed Mirror. I like had the skeleton and Jamar's really good at the taking like kind of all of my ideas and then bringing them to like elite levels. That's like Jamar is super good. He's very rhythmic in his thinking for every single instrument and in his arranging and stuff. But this one, I kind of just went, I presented it to the guys and they're just kind of like, yo, like kind of works, you know? So we went and sent the stems to Dan, dude from Calvary Chapel, who mixes and masters us. I took it to him and we just said, let's just throw it out there. Let's release it. So I guess it was kind of, I hope that answered it.
Yeah.
I
mean,
but like, Jay, how do you feel like, do you feel like that dynamic has worked out really well when it comes to like the songwriting process between the two of you?
Yeah, I think honestly, it sounds kind of crazy, but Mikey and I, we have this thing to where we both say an idea at the same time and both the ideas are halfway done. So especially when he showed me The End and all that stuff, he was like, hey, I have this cool song. Let me know what you think about it. I heard it, because this is cool, but it's missing something. So I'll add in my two pieces or, you know, my two cents and all that stuff. We sit there, listen to it, kind of like have our ears covered and like crying in a room for an hour. And then we figure out, oh, this needs this. This needs more drums here. This needs a reverse snare. So I think the way Mikey and I work is that since he's so melodic and I'm very rhythmic, and we're both missing those pieces in our own musical knowledge, I guess I would say. So it kind of comes together. It fits really well.
I've known you guys a long time. So like I've known Kyle since he was like basically a baby. But facts. Mikey, you're about to apply to the Berklee School of Music master's program. And then Jay, you had a tenured career at Bellflower and Taft as a part of marching band. And you as well, Kyle, you've dabbled in the music theory here and there. Do you feel like your theory background, how has that played into how you guys either approach songwriting or how you guys approach like being a band together? How has that played in your music theory backgrounds?
Who wants to take that one? You want to take that one? Yeah.
I think it's just being able to hear out what Mikey and Jomar put together and do the best of my ability to bring that out in my drumming. Like when Mikey and Jomar first showed us like Mirror or like even The End, it was a challenge, but also it was something that I'm sort of used to, just hearing something and then being able to just play it out. And then as performances went on and stuff like that, I'm able to sort of make it my own without completely changing it and making the feel of the song really different, but still making it my own sound, if that makes sense.
Mikey, how about you, bro?
Yeah, definitely. It's Theory is definitely something that I've just been naturally interested in. I always like to know the why of things. Why the Mirror album cover? Why is it shattered? Why have a airport runway for the end cover? You know, why have a certain font? I want an answer for everything because my major is it's music for film, TV, and games. A lot of the composers on staff there say is like, you should be able to have an answer for every second, every choice you make. You should kind of be able to be like, well, I put there because XYZ reason. Even if you really don't have a reason other than the fact that like, oh, obviously, like you think it sounds good. You know, what else was the reason, you know, behind that? So I think a combination of that theory and being like, I know which keys fit or which notes fit in certain keys and I know how to break those rules. I think just having that approach in everything is just more on purpose because of that theory background and the whole, you know, film and TV visual element as well, you know, tied in.
And I'm so sorry. Can I get the question again?
Yeah. Okay. That's me. No, you had a very storied career as a marching band member, which kind of ties into your whole rhythm, sort of the atmosphere of rhythm you've been surrounded with. How has that influenced the way that how February of Halls has been running, whether it's within music writing, songwriting? How has that influenced you in any way?
Yeah, I definitely think that when Mikey and I came together, since he was, I think it was right before he started Berklee School of Music, and I think in regards to his songwriting was very linear, I would say, just because he didn't know how to write for certain things. And for me, being able to play so many different instruments and being able to play for different bands and all that stuff, because I did Taft Marching Band in high school, and I did Bellflower High School Marching Band, I did Cavaliers in 2014, which is like a professional marching band in the summer and all that stuff. Seeing how these songs are formulated and made makes me want to have that same feeling and kind of formulation for the pop punk genre.
For specifically the song The End, I was curious to hear about the meaning or like possibly where the formulation of lyrics came from.
I kind of wanted to write it like with broad brush strokes, not being too specific. Basically, it's about the end of a relationship. I wanted the
Who's it about?
I'll let people who are close to me and know me kind of piece that one together. But yeah, it is vaguely specific if you know me personally, but I did want to keep it, you know, I'm very much true to myself in the sense that I write about my situations and where, like, wherever my heart is, whatever's like flowing out of that. And that's definitely what was going on during the time that I was writing this. But I also, again, wanted to write it with those broad brushstrokes. So, you know, it's not so specific that people can't really relate because it's like, dude, I've never been through this like exact XYZ situation. But yeah.
When it has come to your live shows, I've been to a few of them.
Yes, sir.
How has performing been like for you guys? You guys have been playing music together through the churches and all that stuff for many, many years. But what has it been like performing in front of an audience that's just there for February Falls?
I'd say a little bit weird because when you're playing at churches, people aren't looking at you. They're not like, their goal isn't supposed to be looking at you at the end of the day. But when you're playing for your own music, everybody's there for you. And especially us like busting our butts to get like friends and family who want to see us to sell tickets and all that stuff. And then to see us in the year of us performing grow from being nothing to like being something a lot bigger than we thought it would ever become right now. And even though we're not as big as like, you know, Liquid 82 or all that stuff, but it's still the idea where it's like, we just wanted to do it. We just wanted to play music. And now we're selling 150 tickets at House of Blues, or we're selling almost 200 tickets at Tan Reaction, selling out all of our merch that we had from 3, 4, 5 years ago, making almost 1,000 plays on each of our songs just because people think it's cool. So I think it's kind of weird, honestly.
Could I hear about like these shows and in general the reception from the audience?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it's like, I mean, since it's our friends and family who mainly go, it's very receptive. But then I think one thing that makes us really different is that like we're very charismatic, I would say. So even the bands who meet us in the green room, they're like, you guys are sick. We want to go see you guys play and perform and all that stuff. So we have bands who we met once, barely, coming all the way to Anaheim or coming all the way to Fullerton to see us play because they thought we were cool people. So I think definitely at the shows, it's very much like high energy because we kind of portray that. On stage, I'm not the most energetic sometimes, but Kyle and Mikey are always going to be like going back and forth and all that stuff. So you have that that energy feeding from them to you guys, and kind of making it feel like familiar, if that makes any sense, yeah. You know.
What about you, Kyle? How have you felt during these shows?
Yeah, I think what Jomar said, more specifically with between church and, say, like, secular music, I definitely had to rewire myself, like, as a drummer, mainly because at church, like, mainly we play, like, a lot of slow music. There are rarely any chances where the drums are kind of, like, the highlight. I would say more so, like, we're the supporting role of, like, the whole band. We have to keep time and nothing else, usually, just fill in space. But when we started doing these live performances, it was really challenging at first because I needed to, like, of course, break out of my shell because I'm barely 19 and I haven't been doing live shows, like, as much as these guys were. They also live longer than me, so obviously they're going to have a lot more experience. But
watch your mouth.
Wow. It's true, though. It's true. I mean,
that, to be fair, the Mikey is almost 10 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah, bro. You're almost 30, bro.
Hey, I'm in my late 20s. Okay.
Yeah, all right. But, yeah, the only experience I
grow
had
up.
With this stuff was obviously band, like marching band when we play in front. But we're in a huge group. Like, drumline is also a supporting role. So it really challenged me to do more exciting parts, be more flashy. Like what Jomar said, people are coming to see us. And obviously, like, with the amount of work that we put in beforehand, we want to give them the show that they want to see. So if that is, you know, doing, like, stick tricks or whatever, or just being, again, like what Jomar said, being super charismatic, being ourselves, that's what these live performances has pushed me to do.
So we talked about some of the rewarding things about playing with February Falls. I'm curious to hear what some frustrations have been.
You know what? Honestly, I feel like one of the things is like the pay-to-play scene. And you're paying, say it's like $10, 50 tickets. You know, so in that situation, you would give the venue $500. You would buy your own tickets so that you could sell them. And then if you sell anything after that, that's money in your pocket. But, I mean, with a month to do those things, you can just kind of imagine how hard it is to get 50 people consistently. And it's a frustrating process to get different people and to grow, needing to hit those 50, 60, 70, 80 thresholds just to kind of break even. We kind of rely heavy on merch and family members and, you know, a lot of people to break us even. And, I mean, luckily we've you know, we're doing really well off shows. We haven't lost any or even broke even. We're doing well. So, like, that's a blessing. Like, we're very thankful for that. But it's a frustrating point, I would say, probably, is that kind of running the pay-to-plays, the LA pay-to-plays.
Yep. I think personally for me, I think it'll be the ignorance of us not knowing what to do. Figuring out, like, what to do, how to run social media, how we probably, like, engage that. Do we open up a TikTok? Do we stop doing TikTok? Do we do Instagram? Like, what do we do? But it's one of those things that's, like, the most frustrating thing I would say for me personally is, like, going in and not having a plan.
Yeah, so then what would you say are the long-term goals? Where should or what would you guys like to have February Falls be, like, let's say in 3 to 5 years? Like, what's, like, the vision here? You guys could go really far. Mm-hmm. I think once, like Jay said, like, once you guys kind of figure out what works and what doesn't, like, I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, well, something that's been really encouraging, we're looking at just, I mean, for our first year, you know, have thousands of streams, which is, like, blowing our minds. I was like, maybe we'll have a couple hundred. But, yeah, like, thousands of streams on, like, multiple platforms of, like, Apple Music and Spotify is kind of, like, super encouraging. And our next show, we're opening for a band called Promotive. They're coming through on tours. So, I mean, we're already getting hooked up by just, like, not having a plan and, like, fudging out stuff. Like you said, I mean, sky's the limit. So I don't know exactly where it's like, oh, here's our 5-year plan. I can't tell you exactly where that is, but I mean, it is encouraging and we want to keep going, you know.
Kyle, did you have any goals?
With specifically the band?
Yeah.
With me.
Get married, have kids.
What are your intentions with me?
I mean, with February Falls specifically, and this will honestly always be my, like, motive for just playing music in general, is just I want to sort of use the gifts I have to serve my friends or just play with them, regardless if it's church, if it's in the secular scene or whatever, if it's in bars or whatever. I just want to, like, have fun and, what Mikey said, enjoy it, yeah. See where it goes.
My goal is to replace you eventually.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How about no Deal. Replacements? We just have two drummers.
Oh.
Two full kits.
Yeah, there we go.
We're like,
what about you, the mean man of this group.
I think it's definitely, I think it would be cool for us to like get noticed by people who we look up to. But in regards to like the band wise, I think just like, again, like enjoying myself, like Kyle said, playing with you guys, I'm having a good time with that. Like creating something that's almost immortal, if that makes any sense, like that will live longer than I will live, is kind of like the goal at the end of the day, knowing that like my kids can see this and then like their kids can see this and their kids can see this, or even like somebody down the line could find a random vinyl with like our faces on it and be like, yo, who's this weird band from, you know, LA or whatever it is. That's like the cool thing about it is that with music, it's like an art that is tangible, but also like forever.
Oh. Yeah. You mentioned the show earlier that you guys have upcoming. What should people keep an eye out for you guys? What's coming up next?
Yeah, we have a song, Parasite, that's going to be dropping right before the show, which is where we're aiming for. We have the show, the Promotive 7th Annual Chain Reaction Show coming through in Anaheim. Yeah, tickets $12, pull up. Chain Reaction, Anaheim, February Falls, Promotive. I think others still to be announced too, so.
What's the date on it?
December 17th.
Do you have like a social media page you wanted to direct anyone to check out the updates for these things?
Yes, of course. Jamar, is that official February Falls?
Yep, it's official February Falls. There's also one that says February Falls official. That one's fake. It's the old one. Do not look at that one. Ignore that.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Okay, official February Falls on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, don't click.
It would have on the official February Falls. It would have a in the bio. It will have links to all of our shows and all that stuff. So if you guys have any questions, you all can DM the Instagram page or you can DM us personally. We can give you guys tickets and figure out everything from there.
There you go.
Awesome. Naoki, it was awesome co-hosting with you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I love this. I should just start co-hosting with you every week. I'm going to leave Tita up to do this. Sorry, Maddie.
It's been wonderful. And a special thank you to our guest, February Falls, for being here today.
Woohoo! Thank you guys so much for having us.
Again, if you want to keep up to date with their future releases of music and performances, follow them on Instagram. It's at Official February Falls. This is our final episode of Artist Banter for the semester, and I just wanted to give a big thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me. We'll be back again next semester, so if you want to hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials, at daily49er. We appreciate you being here, take care, and can't wait to see you again soon.